Welcome to the Bougie Black Brother Network. Good evening and welcome to Urban Lifestyle Cafe. I'm Michael, your bougie black brother, and I'm here with my co-host, Alicia.
Hello.
And we took the time to check out the new movie, Ready Player One. So, a lot of hoopla about this, so a lot of commercial marketing and a lot going on for this, and especially since it was a Steven Spielberg movie, and
which I didn't know.
Oh, you didn't know?
No, I didn't.
So yeah, so I followed that, and the reason why I was really cautious because it was a Steven Spielberg movie, and the last Steven Spielberg movie we saw, do you remember?
Where was it?
The Post.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, and you know, we reviewed that, if you remember that, and we had our opinion on that one. So, but there was a lot of hype on this because it was a little nostalgia about in the 70s and video games and the emergence of virtual reality.
Virtual, augmented reality.
Augmented, virtual.
Artificial intelligence.
And all of that. So it was a bunch of that related to it. So I was kind of interested. I wasn't excited by it, but I was interested by it. So I was kind of like, I'm not sure if I'm going to look forward to it, but I was interested. Did it seem interesting to you, or was it kind of like, let's see what it's about, Ben?
I didn't know. I mean, I heard of the movie, but it was just little things here. So, I don't see the trailers as much as I do. So, I was surprised when you said we're going to see this movie. I didn't even check on the rating until we actually looked to get the movie tickets. And so, I seen the ratings. I was like, okay, yeah, I want to see this. And I was not expecting this. This is something, because this one I actually did not know much about.
Yeah, so they was kind of hyping this, and I'm come reading about it. They were supposed to have it come out last year around December, but they decided to pull back because they didn't want it to compete with the Star Wars movie,
With
the Jedi one. So they really said, oh, let's wait because that'll probably bump heads on that. And, you know, when they doing that and Disney runs all of that, they kind of like, look, we want to make all the money. We don't want to make some of the money. We want to make all the money. Mm-hmm. So the interesting thing about this was based on a sci-fi novel by Ernest Cline back in 2011. So it still talked about virtual reality. It talks about the gaming things. It was a lot of gaming and 70s, 80s type deal within the book. So what you saw there was pretty interesting, but a couple of omissions was in the book. They had a sequence with Pac-Man, then they had a sequence that had Blade Runner, reference to Blade Runner. They had sequence of, well, no, but they did that Monty Python. I thought that was freaking awesome. War Games with Matthew Broderick. And Dungeons and Dragons. We didn't really see much of that in there, or I'm just ignorant and couldn't catch it because I'm not a big Dungeons and Dragons guy anyway. But they had a lot of like 70s, 80s references, and the guy wrote it into the book. So this was really something that Spielberg picked up on in 2015, and it took this long to actually get it actually, you know, filmed and everything in that matter. So interesting backstory on that because of the book. And I don't think I really need to read the book now because it doesn't sound like it's too different than what the movie was. He probably changed a couple of things, but most of it is in line with the book, which I think is interesting because it was such an older book, 2011. And we're really, really just getting into a lot of augmented artificial reality within the last 2 years, 2 to 3 years. Would you agree?
Yes, yes.
So that made it really interesting that this guy kind of started it way back in. So opening up, what was your thoughts?
You know, I was trying to get a feel of what the movie was about. And, you know, the first thing they did was show the glasses for you to do virtual reality. So it was kind of cool watching, seeing that. And then how it was like he was telling the story about Cleveland, Ohio, and how more people are moving there because of the actual virtual reality and stuff like that. So the story, beginning of the story, was really easy to flow into.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a good thing. You know, I was like, my curiosity is like, okay, where this is going? Okay, this is like, wow, this is kind of cool. And you see bits and stories. They, you know, basically telling bits and story of the characters. You know, so the one character, you thought he was living with his mom when you later found out it was his aunt.
Yep.
And I like that. I like that they didn't just go into this full length storyline about his character,
mm-hmm.
you know, without taking away from how the movie was supposed to flow.
So I found that interesting, too, because it wasn't based on, yeah, I work for a living, and in my part-time, I stop, and then I'll run up the game. Oh, and then my aunt is taking care of me, and her job is blah, blah, blah. No, everyone was doing this virtual reality
shit.
Yes, it was like everyone was out there doing it. And it made it like really, really interesting because there was no really side notes of it. It wasn't like, you know, on top of the games and the Oasis, as they call it, that was the virtual reality. On top of all of that, there was just businesses marketing to the Oasis.
Right.
And then when they get coins or things within the game, they were able to buy things on the outside.
Right.
I was like, wow, that's kind of fucked up. So you base your life on playing a game, you know what I mean? So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, and I mean, everybody, that was cool too, to find out that everybody was playing a game.
Yeah, everybody was. Everybody actually, then when they show people down the street, they had the virtual reality goggles on, and since everybody else had it on, you saw different people as you passed by. And let me back up. It wasn't just people. They took the characters of, like, you saw Batman. You saw dinosaurs.
I know. That was so cool.
You saw aliens. You saw all types of stuff.
What's the other one from the movie Beetlejuice?
Yeah, Beetlejuice was there.
Yeah, Beetlejuice.
Spawn.
Yeah.
I was just so...
The Godzilla. I was like, Godzilla what? Was yeah. the dinosaurs. There were...
King Kong was
on
my
there. Goodness.
It was so much that you can reference that. He drove the DeLorean from Back to the Future. And then the girl Artemis, and we didn't get into that, she was driving the Akira motorcycle. So those who didn't know, Akira was one of the best anime features ever made, and they've been trying to make a movie out of it for the longest. But the basic premise of the movie was to get the keys to get the Easter egg. And the Easter egg from, what was the guy's name, who ran the company, Halliday. So Halliday died, and he was the make of the company, and he created Oasis. And he said, upon my death, if you get the keys and find the
Easter egg. All three keys.
Yeah, that's true.
Because the egg really wasn't until the very, very end.
Right. But the keys opened up each area in order to get a hint.
Right.
In order to actually get to the egg. And then the egg will give you control.
Well, it was when, if you're smart enough to understand when you got to the last key, that it was a little bit more than just the last key.
Yeah, so that was a different catch too. But, and again, this is Spielberg, so it was kind of like, it's all about being friendly. But, you know, whatever. But one of the things before I finish that was, Wade, or Percival, Percival is his avatar name. He had friends.
Oh, and yeah, the he hung out friends.
With. Yeah, so it was three. One was H, was this big black dude, like a barbarian, but he was like a big mechanic.
Right.
And he had the giant robot in
and it. He was a mechanic. Yeah, he fixed everything.
He fixed everything. But then he had two Asian guys that was...
Who was the name? Chow?
Shu. And whichever the other guy was. So I don't really know who he was. But it was cool. That was two excellent characters. And within that, when they was searching for the keys, they ran into a young girl named Artemis.
Yeah, Artemis, and then is Datito.
That's the other. That's part of the three people, though. But right. Artemis was the lone girl who actually she was a rebel. She was a rebel, and she said, "We need to get the keys so we can bring the world together."
Right.
For the virtual reality.
Right.
So the villains were the corporation that advertised on Oasis to get people to continue to buy stuff. So they wanted to control the games to make people buy stuff so they can make more and more and more money, which was, you know, kind of, it wasn't different. It's kind of, what is it? It's typical, isn't it?
Right. It was so typical.
It's kind of typical.
Corporate America. Corporate America. In.
But yeah. But they had all of the money, so they had people who studied everything.
Right. Remember, there was a whole company with a bunch of people, and they would send them out. They would send like hundreds of them out to try to.
They get on like a small little treadmill with a jacket, and as soon as they die, they just jump from one of them and get back on another one. And what they do, which I thought was really cool, so if you die. And another person died, they can switch places because you wasn't originally on that one.
Right, right.
So that avatar that was on there is done with, but then you jump on another one and you can reboot back up. But they just had like hundreds of people right there.
Yeah, that's what, because it was an avatar, you didn't actually die in the real world. You died in the other world.
In the virtual world.
Yeah,
but the virtual world. But then you start over though, so you don't have enough coins.
Yeah, you can start, Which was so cool, you know, about the he got paid in coins. So whatever he won, he got a bunch of coins put into his account.
Yeah. So
it almost seemed like it almost seemed like what is it? A cryptocurrency kind of way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was kind of cool.
So I mean, to get you to kind of see it the way it kind of what is it visually. Is Super Mario when the coins is just all over the place and you jump around and you jump on one of the mushrooms and the coins come out. But if you kill somebody, their coins come out and you can pick them up and you can recharge yourself and go from that. So the coin thing was like really, really cool too. But going through all of that, it was just a race to get the keys and then the race to get the keys in order to get the Easter egg, and then get the Easter egg to control Oasis, which is the virtual reality place. But it was so visually cool, you know what I mean?
Yes, it was.
It was just visually entertaining, visually cool. Storyline was basic. It wasn't really, you know, like a moral thing or a... anything that intellectually stimulates you, was visually stimulating.
What was really interesting was how it went from the virtual world to the real world. It was really nice how the flow went, because you were thinking, okay, so, you know, when he took off his glasses, he was in the real world.
Yep.
And that was just that simple.
But the real world was still based on the virtual world.
Right, right. Everybody.
Not the virtual world was based on the real world.
Right.
Which was kind of cool because... all you had to do was actually keep up in the virtual world and you'd be fine. You know what I mean?
Which was so cool too. It was like everybody had the VR glasses on and everybody was in the virtual world. I mean, everybody. So, you know, with the war went on, that was fucking cool. This is why I liked it so much. Because the fact that you saw them all fight in the virtual world, but then you seen them on the street with the glasses on, fighting everybody. Yep. I was like, that shit is cool as hell. Yep. What the hell? That's what I was talking about. Just the way they did it, you know, it wasn't like, it was like, wow, you know, it was like when you sitting in front of your living room and your family playing, have their VR glasses on and they fighting. Mm-hmm. And then you see that on that end, but you, if you could see, and then what was cool, everybody could see what was going on in the virtual world, even though they were not there.
Right, right. And I thought that was, it was like, just put your VR glasses on and you'll see what's going on. Because once you put them on, you was in Oasis. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't have it, you're in reality. But as soon as you put it on, you're part of Oasis. It wasn't like you was anywhere else. But you can get into Oasis and there's different places in Oasis that you can go to. So he, when he was fighting at the end with the Sorrento guy, that's the guy who ran the inventive... This was what it's called. It was Innovative Online Industries, IOI.
Yeah, IOI. There yeah, we go.
So he's Sorrento guy. And I always think of Sorrento as the people who do the food, the fake food. And they put the chemicals and shit in there. Sorrento. But anyway, this is how I remembered it. But they were fighting against them, and then they went to this area. But the one character I thought was really, really funny, too. The guy who... looked like he was part. He had the skull thing on his stomach. He played. If you listen to his voice, he played the guy that was on Deadpool with the glasses. He always was joking with him, and he ran the bar. Uh-huh. That was that guy. I don't know his name, but it was him, and he was funny as hell. And
I'm trying to find out who he is myself, because there's I-Rock and Odomaro. I just don't know which one it is.
Yeah. What do you mean?
The voice, the one you were talking about.
Oh, it's not that hard. I mean, when you look it up, you can find out for sure. But the thing is, he was helping Sorrento. So when Sorrento showed up, it was kind of like, what?
Well, he was so funny because every time Sorrento asked him a question, how you doing or how it's working, he'd be like, well, you know, I'm having this crick in my neck. And, you know, it's really been bothering me. You know,
I think I need a massage. Or he was like, anyway, dude, yeah. I don't want to hear that.
Then he's like, he said, how much do you want to get the guy? Three times as much? He said, okay. He said, damn.
He said, damn. Should I went to five?
Four,
hey,
five?
Hey, could we negotiate the fifth? You know, I'm like, you're so crazy. So the guy name was T.J. Miller.
From Silicon Valley. I love that show.
He's the funniest asshole. But I remember him from Deadpool because he was excellent on
that. Yes, he was there too.
And so, I mean, he just did really, really well on that. But yeah, so he on here, he's the same way, and he's just crazy as fuck. And, you know, he put a lot of good humor into the actual storyline. So it worked out really, really well for him as the comic relief. But overall, which is funny, though, but overall, the movie was really, really good. And it should make a lot of money because you can go back and see some stuff that you didn't see.
Yeah, I want to go back.
And when you see stuff, you'll be like, oh, check it out. Look at that over there. Because that's what I was doing all throughout the movie. I was keep seeing different stuff or different characters that they was relating to. And then even reference Buckaroo Banzai.
Yes.
That a lot of people haven't seen. And oh, it's a classic.
Me and Michael, we used to watch that mess over and over and over again.
And we Buckaroo. Was in Germany.
Yes.
But
Buckaroo Banzai. And we had a VHS tape. Yep.
And John Lithgow was the criminal on there. And the head guy thought he was going to be hot, but he wasn't. He the one who fell off. And John Lithgow, who
became
played
famous,
he became famous. So, but really, really, really such a good movie. Good movie. And I was surprised because it was a Spielberg movie, and when you get a Spielberg movie, it's always the happy ending, and you know, there's a lot more kids than, you know what I mean?
Yep.
There's a lot more kids than anything. So I was like, but it was cool. I just thought it was such an entertaining movie.
Yes.
And when you watch it, it just keeps your mind attention. Again, back to how we say certain movies. You can go to movies and go, you know, okay, it was fun, but what a dumb movie. It had no plot. See, it had, the acting was terrible. And it wasn't about the acting.
Right.
But it wasn't about a basic, it was a basic plot that they just flowed through to the end.
It referred to so many different things, like you said, from back in the 70s and 80s. The Shining,
where the portion with The Shining was fantastic.
H was in there, and she's like, well, how you not go see The Shining?
He said, you didn't see The Shining, so why are you going in the room? And it was like, it was so cool, because you gotta know The Shining in order to understand where you should go, you should be following. Don't mess with them goddamn two little girls.
Exactly.
Follow them. You know, I was like, wow, this is just so cool. This is so freaking cool.
H is Lena White, and she's in, she's a writer, I think, and director, correct?
Nah, well, I think she helped direct some, because I think she wrote some and directed some episodes in Shy.
Okay, she was a writer in The Shy. She's a producer. With the Dear White People, and that was the movie. And she did. She's a writer with Master of None. If everybody watched Master of None, is one of our favorite shows.
Yep.
And we
no matter what,
we love her in that show.
She's great.
I love her. I am in love with her. She is hilarious, and she is definitely hilarious in Ready Player One. When you see the character and her voice in there, and it goes back and forth, because it was, like I said, it's so cool, because you know the avatar, you know them on the virtual reality, and then closer to the end you start seeing the characters,
right? And so I thought that was good too.
Yes, it was,
because the only true character you saw was Wade.
Yep.
Or Percival.
Yep.
And his on and everything. And then another good thing they showed too at the beginning was, you know, you see the characters, avatar, and then when they get killed or something, they'll switch back, and you see that a child is trying to get his mom to fix him dinner, and the mom is playing in Oasis. or there's a kid that's playing, and it looks like this huge creature, and it's like a 7-year-old child that's playing it. And it's like everyone who's playing it.
Yes.
Everyone is in the virtual world. And then he finally meets Artemis, and her name is Samantha. And after he meets Samantha and they working together, they only got to see his friends at the end. Everybody but the one Asian guy was kind of typical. But the other one was an 11-year-old.
Yeah, 11-year-old boy.
And they kept saying, what? Why are you so surprised? How the hell am I 11-year-old? Do I supposed to tell everybody I'm 11-year-old? And it was just so good. It was such an entertaining movie.
So at the end, it's that war scene, which was awesome. That was awesome when he said.
So it reminds you of like the Lord of the Rings.
Yes. But they came, he was like, he asked everybody, we need to fight them because corporations,
they gotta take over the Oasis. Yes,
and he's trying to get the take over until he can control it. And then he said, I need your help. And then everything was quiet after he said that. And then you heard this
rumbling,
and they were running, and they was like, yay!
They're here.
And it was like a shield over the, he said, he's trying to get the final key. And so they figure out a way to break the shield, and then they were fighting all of them. And I wanted to be there in my VR lens and wanted to fight with them too, because it was just so exciting. And so it was just, that part was just the coolest thing ever. Everybody was fighting, and then he had the bomb. Remember the bomb?
It was the holy hand grenade.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know where the holy hand grenade comes from, it's from the Holy Grail. We pray for the holy hand grenade. I was like, oh my god, it's the holy hand grenade. What the fuck?
And so the holy hand, it blew up. Everybody was gone.
Yep.
Except so it just for when that was Percival. Playing
the game. No. That's the holy hand grenade got them in. But then he had another bomb that actually wiped out everyone.
Right.
And that's what
Sorrento.
Yeah, Sorrento did.
Yeah, he blew up everybody.
Yep.
And but then
Percival was the only one that survived because he had an extra what?
A life.
He had an extra life.
Yay.
Yeah, because it's a game. And you can have an extra life in the game.
Oh, they were mad as hell.
They was like, what the hell? So they went and tried to find him. So that was pretty cool, too. But it was so good. It was so, so good. And it was easy to follow. And you just didn't know what they were going to do next. Because it was good enough to say, what do you do next? You know what I mean? They just added so much into that. And then, like I say, when I was reading the excerpts from the book, it was basically the same premise. He just decided to put in what he wanted to put in. And I think he did well. I mean, that's why I'm not going to read the book, because it's just going to be the same thing, but under different, you know, circumstances. Spielberg decided to do one thing, another on another. So, yeah, I'm good either way. But, very good movie. Very good movie.
Yes, it was. It was really, really good.
So, to the ratings.
Oh, you already. I told you when I was sitting there, I said a 10. That's it.
A 10. That's what she said. A 10. Why would you want it as a 10?
Listen, I wanted to be in it. I wanted to do the VR. I wanted to be fighting with them crazy IOI people. It was just that exciting.
So, it's. I don't think it's a 10, but I definitely would love to see this over and over again.
Can't get enough
of it. This is one that, regardless of, I see one more time, oh, I saw everything. No, you'll never get enough of this. This is one of them, especially growing up in the 80s, 70s, loving video games, into tech right now. All of this is like the ultimate. Other than having a really great storyline, this was almost the perfect movie. That's why I can't say it's a 10, because it didn't give me that other portion to say, what an amazing film. But it was an amazing film.
It was a lot of fun to me.
It was fun too. And I'm giving it a 9. And the reason why I'm saying a 9 is because that I'm going to watch this anytime and all the time. There's certain movies that like come on and you just say, whoop, sit down, let's watch it.
Yep, in the middle, at the very beginning, at the very end, you can watch this.
You can watch. It's like any of the Marvel movies, especially the Civil Wars or the Avengers. You can watch them because you remember what happened previously, but it still keeps your attention whatever portion of the movie you're at. It will keep your attention. And then you can remember what you missed, and then you can just continue on from that. So a very high quality movie for a regular plotted storyline. So you got to give it the respect from that. At least you gave it a 10, but I'm going to give it a 9. She's always rating higher than me anyway, or way, way lower than me. So we at least 10 points across from that. But
I just love this. It's just like, you know, the witches and the little boy.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. I love Harry Potter. Jesus. I could watch that over and over again. Yeah, I can't remember the names, but I could sure see it
in my imagination. I don't really like them other than maybe one or two of them. I think they're fine. I like the new ones, the Fantastic Beasts. I like those. And those are that's the adult version of Harry Potter.
Yes, it is.
But I like those. The kids one, the reason why I wasn't too much into Harry Potter is because Harry Potter was just the main character, but he didn't do anything. Everybody had better powers or magic than him.
Yes.
He really wasn't. That's what threw me off. And the whole thing was kind of like weird. So,
But I like, I mean,
you can like it. I'm not saying you
every time
to like
I see it usually comes on HBO and I usually try to watch it.
I don't watch that. I'll watch The Lord of the Rings over and over and over.
Yeah.
Because those are my fantasy type movies, though.
So we got a 10 and a 9. And I would suggest for those who have a vivid or crazy imagination, have fantasies, and can want to fly and dream about doing it, this is the kind of movie you want to do, because virtual reality will allow you to do all of that, and it shows you that within the in this movie. So
with a great job and did a great job. You got to give Spielberg the respect because we don't really give him the respect when it comes to sci-fi movies. He just makes it so, oh, it's for the children. And that just kills me. But he did a good job on this one, even though he ended it a certain way. It was okay. I mean, even at the end, it's okay. And for a side note, to your point, baby, he was like, oh, they made plenty of money, so they're going to have to do a sequel. And I was like, they're not going to do a sequel unless they wrote a sequel. But guess what? The guy is already writing the sequel. But he's been writing it before the movie came out.
Okay.
So it's not like he was told to do it because of the movie. He was writing one anyway because they brought the rights to it after he kind of released it. So now that they probably saw it and he was probably kind of working through it, they were just like, well, you need to speed it up. We got two more years before we can get it released. So start finishing the screenplay. Mm-hmm. So we'll probably see another Ready Player 2. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So Urban Lifestyle Cafe. Oh, get us on all podcast downloads from Spotify, Podbean, Spreaker, iTunes, Google Play. There's so many, but I made sure that if you're downloading anything, it's available for you to download. And follow us on Instagram and IG, Bougie Black Bro, and Find Black Woman, Find BLK Woman on Instagram as well as
Twitter.
Twitter. So thank you so much. We look forward to a couple of them coming up. There's one that I really want to see, and we'll probably look at that next. It's The Isle of Dogs. It's Wes Anderson. He's such an entertaining, creative actual director, and it's really an almost stop animation that he's doing throughout the whole movie. So really, really creative, and I really want to see it. And it looks just so entertaining with a lot of stars doing the voices of the dogs. So you're gonna be familiar of hearing them and knowing who the actors are once you hear their voice. You get a list, you'd be like, oh, that's such and such. Oh, that sounds like such and such. Well, it actually is going to be these people. So we'll probably be seeing that before the week is out as well. Anyway, any last thoughts, Boo?
Never, that's it.
Urban Lifestyle Cafe, thanks for stopping by. See you next Wednesday. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Bye.